To continue our discussion that we began last week regarding Tnai B'mitzvos. And we finished that discussion after bringing many cases in which the possibility of Tnai would help us solve a problem and do various mitzvahs with a Tnai. We discussed again, if you recall, just to jolt your memory, Kriyat Shema with a Tanai. We discussed Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam with a Tanai, Tefillin of Chol HaMoed with a Tanai, Sefiras HaOmer. And we finally concluded our discussion with the Avnei Nezer's Chiddush about Achilas Afikoman, in which the Avnei Nezer, in order to avoid the situation where one is pressured, how can he finish his Suda before Chatzos on Leil HaPesach, and therefore he should make a Tanai so that he can eat the Afikoman later on, after he eats the Suda past Chatzos, and he makes a Tanai. First he eats one Afikoman before Chatzos, and he says that if the Halach is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that the Pesach has to be Nechal before Chatzos, then this Afikoman, the first one, is his Afikoman. He's eating L'shem Afikoman. But if on the other hand the Halach is like Chachamim, then once we pass Chatzos, there's no longer an Iser of Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikoman. Even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would allow you to eat after Chatzos, and you'll eat a second Afikoman at the end of your Suda after Chatzos. This brilliant Hamtza'ah, this brilliant suggestion would seem to solve all the problems that we have with the pressure of Afikoman. What I'd like to study with you tonight is the insights of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who is the Rav of Yerushalayim, in his Sefer Mikroi Kodesh for Pesach, the second Chelek. And the name of the Simon Simonam in Vav is Achilas Afikomen Kodem Chatzos Vam Shochas Asuda Acherkach. And he begins by telling that he heard from his brother-in-law, Rav Aryeh Levin, the famous Rav Aryeh Levin, that Rav Chaim of Brisk would not eat the Afikoman after Chatzos, based on the fact that there are those Shitos that Paskin like Rav Loves and Azariah, that a Pesach in Nechal Ella Ad Chatzos, meaning if we assume the Halach is like Rav Loves and Azariah and we cannot be Yotze the Mitzvah of Pesach after Chatzos, then we have to assume that the Afikoman, which is a substitute, Zecher LePesach, has to be eaten likewise before Chatzos. And therefore, Reb Chaim, if he didn't finish his Suda before Chatzos, he would eat the Afikoman before Chatzos, and he would eat his Suda after Chatzos. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Ein HaPesach Nechal Acher Chatzos, Lo Nesar Lechol Sasuda Acher Afikoman, Mikavon She'ein Ze Od Zman Shel Achilas Afikoman. So we don't find in Reb Chaim that his minog was to eat a second Afikoman and eat the first one, the Tanai. However, he would eat the Afikoman before Chatzos, and that was his Afikoman. And he was Yotze the Shita of Rav Elazar ben Azariah in a Pesach Nechal al Chatzos. As far as the Suda is concerned, he would eat the Suda after Chatzos. And we have already touched on this lumdus, on this logic, that according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, there's no Iser in eating a Suda after the Afikoman if there's no longer time, if you've already exceeded beyond the time zone for the mitzvah of eating the Afikoman. And here in the Mikroi Kodesh, he asks a question: Hayesh Chashash Lashitas the Pesach Nechal Kol Alayla Im Kain Ketzad Ochel Achrei Hafikoman Shehu Bimkom HaPesach. According to Chachamim of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the time for the mitzvah of Hafikoman is the entire night, throughout the night. And therefore, even after Chatzos, we are still in the time zone for the mitzvah of Achilas Pesach, and therefore the Iser of Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikoman is activated. How can we eat on the Suda after Chatzos? True, that Rav Chaim wanted to be Mahadir, wanted to be Machmir for Rav Lozman Azariah, but can he neglect, completely ignore the Shitas Chachamim, who would prohibit eating a Suda after Chatzos, under the law of Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikoman? And in order to address this problem, the Mikra'i Kodesh writes that Mistama, this is what happened. He would eat, Reb Chaim would eat the Afikoman before Chatzos with a Tnai, that according to Reb Lozman Azariah, he's eating the Afikoman, but on the other hand, if the halacha is like Chachamim, that would not be an Afikoman, and he would continue his meal after Chatzos and then eat another Afikoman. And he writes, Motzasi came by Avni Nezer. And he was very excited about the fact that he came up with an idea which he ultimately, subsequently found in the Avnei Nezer. And he writes, in the name of the Avnei Nezer, Ochal b'shas muchal chatzos. He's eating his suda and it's getting close to chatzos. Yochal b'rishon afikoma v'achach yochal suda v'yomar im halacha ke Reb Lozman Azariah in pesach nechal chatzos im kain. Achalti afikoma numash ochal acharkach ein iser recover as man. V'im ha-pesach necho kol laila kechachomim harei ochel v'sofa gmar asuda b'chol achiloso afikoma. And that's exactly the tenai of the Avnei Nezer, in which you eat two afikomens, not one, but the first one you eat before chatzos, after chatzos, boom, the bell strikes chatzos and you continue your suda. And then you eat a second afikom and you've covered your bases with this tanai. But he raises the problem that we touched on last time. And he mentions it in the name of Rav Shimon Shkop, one of the great Rosh Hashivas of Lita. How could a tanai work? We have a principle in tanai, the milsa, the lesser b'shlichus, lesser b'tanai, that which does not lend itself to shlichus cannot lend itself to tnai. And in the case of achilas matzah, of achilas afikoman, there's no possibility of shlichus. Therefore, ipso facto, there should be no possibility of tnai. And we've already seen that this objection was raised by the Mishkanos Yaakov with regard to the halach of tnai b'kriyat shma that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. How can you make a tanai in Kriyat Shema? Kriyat Shema is certainly milsa the less of a shlichus. It doesn't lend itself to shlichus, and therefore it cannot lend itself to tanai. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, Ulam, however, Matzanu Kai Gavna Bar Chaim Simon Lamed Dalid, with regard to tefillin, we do find such a thing as a tanai. V'yechavein banachosom, when he puts on his tefillin, and we're talking about tefillin that may or may not be appropriate. He says, "Yichav manachoson be osam shema libed ilchasa ani yotze yidei chovasi." One of these tefillin, whether it's Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam, is the right tefillin, and he should have kavodah that he's being yotze with the right tefillin. That's the tanai that he makes. Is lechora muchach the mahani tanai. From that case of tefillin, we could prove that there is a tanai. And furthermore, in our Chaim Simon Mem Vav, we find a tanai with regard to Kriyat Shema, that if he's afraid that maybe Avrazman, because the tzibur is dilly-dallying, then he should read Kriyat Shema without brachos, with a tanai, that if the tzibur makes it on time, he won't be yotzi with the first Kriyat Shema, but rather with the second Kriyat Shema. So here we have two clear-cut proofs that tanai works in mitzvahs. What do we do with the principle of kol milsa, the less of a shlichus, less of a tanai? V'yesh lomar. And his answer is that based on the chidush Ramban Baba Basra, that tanai works in a nazir, even though nazirus, how can you make a tanai in nazirus? Yevshal lasos al yidei shliach, you cannot appoint the shliach to replace you. Mishum dahad gamrinon mitnai b'nei gadu b'nei ruvein, that principle that is derived from the paradigm of Tanai, of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, that they were making a kinyan on the land of Israel. This principle that only shlichus then tanai is limited, the makom shabasa, the place that we learn it from, namely Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, it's a bein adam lechavera. It's a halach of kinyonim. You want to be makna something to me, I don't want to be kona, I can make a tanai if I can make a shliach. Avol tanai shebein adam lechavera, when it's not bein adam lechavera, but rather it's bein adam liatzmo, is bechol inyan avi tanai, even if it's less of a shlichus, it's Isa b'tanai, you can make a tanai. And he quotes the Yerushalmi in Kedusha, which is brought by the Russian Gittin, Masna Odom Alei Ruvo, a person can put down an Eruv and make a tanai, and he'll make a tanai kafel, etc., etc. And even though it's less of a shlichus, but because it's Bein Odom Liatzmo, that's why we don't have to be bound by the principle of shlichus tanai, which was derived from Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, which is Bein Adam Lechavero, which means basically that the laws of Tanai with regard to Bein Adam Lechavero are very strict, the standards and conditions are very high, because we're getting into a relationship over here. You stand to lose, I stand to gain, or vice versa, and therefore the Tanai has to be ironclad, and it can only apply in certain limited strictures, and that's what we derive from Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. But if it's Bein Adam Liatzmo, you can make such a Tanai. Then the Mikray Kodesh continues, and he raises another point, and that is, does Tanai undermine Kavana Latzes? A person has to have Kavana Latzes Yedei Chovaso. And if you take a look at the Beis Yosef in Siman Tov Kuf Tzadi, he goes back and forth about Shofar with regard to cases of Genuchin of Sveikas, about the Tkia and the Shvarim and the Trua, the Tashrat, and he wants to know if we can make a Tanai in such a case. And the question is whether Tanai is Pogea and undermines the Kavana. And the Beis Yosef quotes the Re'em, Rabbi Lezer Mimetz, one of the Bali Atosis, who says that mitzvah strichas kavana, and therefore we don't want to make a tanai, because the tanai would undermine the kavana. The very moment that you say, well, maybe I won't be yotze, and this maisa mitzvah is not being implemented for the sake of mitzvah, you're already toying, you're already putting in jeopardy your kavana l'shem mitzvah. And then the Mikray Kodesh quotes a Taz in Tov Pei Tes, with regard to the case of someone who is mispal im atzibur, with regard to Sfiras Omer, it's on yom, it's still light out, it's not after tzeis, and the possibility of his counting sphere without a bracha, and then if he'll remember at night, he'll make the bracha, and this is all based on the Avudraham, that there is such a thing as tnai. He says, "Meimar Omer Eskar Balayla Beisi Achzav Avarech Kedin V'Nimtza Shalom Birachti Levatolim Eshkach Harei Menicho Kvar." If I don't get around to counting, then let me be yotze with this counting even before darkness, because maybe I can be yotze. But if I have the opportunity to count later on, then this original counting is null and void, and that's the tanai that he makes to allow himself to make a brach on the sfira belayla. We discussed this last time, and the Taz writes that tanai zeinu nachon, and this is not an appropriate tanai. The ein lahasos tanai b'tanai shezochat chila d'ein nimla mitzvah misofek. He's going to put his mitzvah into a suffix, and therefore he is nullifying his mitzvah. It's not real kavana. Kavana has to be definite. It cannot be besuffix. Now, I was zoche to learn many laws by the grandson of Tzipas of Frank, Rav Yosef Koen, Zichrono Livracha. And on the bottom of the page in the Mikray Kodesh, we have Harare Kodesh, which are the insights of Rav David Cohen, Rav Yosef Cohen. Rav Yosef Cohen, Zichrono Livracha, who was a great Magid Shir and a Dayan. He gave shiurim in Machon Ari Fishel. I was zocher to hear many of the shiurim. His son, Yibad al-Chaim Rav David, we quote very often, especially for Purim, we quoted him. He's the Rashiv of Chevron, one of the largest yeshivas on the face of the earth today. But let's look at the Harei Kodesh. He has a very interesting insight. And I want to tell you that I heard something very similar from my Rebbe. And this would answer the question that everyone, the objection that everyone from Rav Shimon Shkop and on has raised against Tnai in Mitzvahs. Mill said the less of a shlichus. And he says the following. This is derived from a svara. Tnai, he says, requires bilus. If I am the controller, so to speak, I'm in the driver's seat, I, through my mice and through my das, create the chalos, then I can make a shliach, and then I can make a tnai. How do I know that the bilus, how do I prove, what's my barometer to evaluate whether or not I am the bilim, whether I have total control over this maisa, and it's chal midaiti, can I appoint the shliach? But if I cannot point to shliach, kanira sheyesh chisaron bebailus al adofer, a person who cannot appoint to shliach, it's not totally his. He doesn't have bailus. So, for example, the paradigm case in Ksubas Daf Ayin Hey is chalitza, and there's no tnai in chalitza because there's no shlichus in chalitza. I cannot. The live brother, surviving brother, cannot appoint a different person to stand in his. To be in his stead and give him power of eternity to represent him for the chalitza. Chalitza requires gufo shel adam. He's not the bialim here. The Torah really creates the chalos. That's what I heard from my Rebbe, from Rav Soloveitchik. And therefore, he, the choletz, cannot make a tnai. So if somebody convinces him to be choletz al-menash yikonsena, that through this chalitza will marry her, which is exact opposite, antithetical to what chalitza is all about, the tnai is batel, the mice is kayim, and chalitza is meaningful. Because it's less of a shlichus, it's less of a tnai, it's not the bailim. So I need a simon ledover. How do I determine whether or not a person is the bailim, whether he's creating the chalos, or he's just simply doing the mice of a gufo, and the Torah is creating a chalos? My barometer to evaluate that is shlichus, where he can make a shliach, he's the bailim. Where he cannot make the shliach, he's not a bailim. And the nafka mina is going to be tnai. If he cannot make a shliach, he's not the bailim, he cannot make the tnai. Oh, if that be the case, avol b'mitzvos, when it comes to a mitzvah, chova ala odom lekaimon dugmas kriyachma enkam shum chisorm v'bailim shal odom ala dover. Who's the bailim on the mitzvah? There's no one else involved. That the Torah is not creating some sort of chalos. It's not mimela. It's his bailus. And if there's no chisaron of bailus, then he can make a tnai. So I'd like to embellish this svara of the Harei Kodesh by saying the following. Lanius Taiti. In the case of a chisaron bailus, that is normally, shall we say, proven or demonstrated by the fact that he cannot appoint a shliach, and if he doesn't have bialus, he cannot make a tnai because it's not totally bedaito. It means that the person in such a case is doing something begufo. He just does the physical act. The chalos is resulting, memela is created, shall we say, by the Torah itself, by HaKadosh Baruch. And in the case where he cannot appoint the shliach, it means he's not the bailim. Shlichus means that I pass on or I transfer my bailus to someone else. If I can make a shliach, it means I have bailus and I can pass on that bailus and have someone stand in my stead. But in a case where there's less of a shlichus, the Torah just says do the maisa, the chalos is chal mimela, you cannot appoint a shliach to represent you for the mice itself. If you have chalos, you have bailus, you have das on the chalos, give over that bailus to someone else, that's shlichus. And then afkamina, as we said, is tanai. How can I create a tanai on something that it's just my physical maisa, but I don't create the chalos? If I have, you know, if the chalos is mine, if I engender the chalos, I have the, you know, it's kechomer b'yad yotzer. I can manipulate that chalos and say, well, that chalos depends upon certain conditions, and I don't want to jump in. But if it's pure my maisa, then I don't have the power of tanai, because I don't own the chalos. Now, one could have ostensibly said, and here I'm a little bit arguing with the Arei Kodesh, Lefiani is daiti, that in the case of mitzvahs, the kiyum mitzvah is not engendered through the bailus of the person over the mitzvah, but the kiyum mitzvah is me'elav. He doesn't have bailus on the kiyum mitzvah. What parallels in kinyonim, we have a chalos. What parallels the chalos in mitzvahs is the kiyum mitzvah. The kiyum mitzvah is not biyado. It's beyond his hand. He's not manipulating the and creating the kiyum mitzvah. He's just doing the maisa mitzvah. That's why he cannot appoint a shliach for a mitzvah. And if that be the case, then the das here is not the das of bailim. And one could ostensibly argue that just like in the case of chalitza lidugma, where there's no possibility of shlichus, therefore, if so facto there's no possibility of tnai, it means that you're not the bailim to manipulate the chalos and set up conditions of that chalos. The same thing parallel in mitzvahs. You're not the bailim of the kiyum mitzvah. You're just doing the maisa mitzvah. Everything else is memela. And your body has to be involved personally in the maisa mitzvah. That's why there's no shlichus. You don't create the chalos. You can't be mavir. You can't pass on the bailus to someone else and make him a shliach. So too, you don't have bailus over the kiyum mitzvah to make a tnai and determine whether that kiyum mitzvah will be chal or whether it won't be chal. If we have time, we'll get back to the Harei Kodesh. I just wanted to forge ahead and study with you a piece in the Mishmeres Chaim. Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Zichrono Livracha, who passed away just recently, and on Thursday nights he would give a mishmar in which he would come in and ask the Talmidim Akasha. He would give them some time and then come back and hear what they had to answer and then give his own Torah. And this was written up by his grandson, Rav Mordechai Altuski, the Mishmeres Chaim Chelek Aleph, Kriyat Shema. And he writes, L'chorah Kasha. What was Rav Chaim's Kasha? He says, Eich yochol lasos tnoim v'mitzvus kegon Kriyat Shema v'kabolos ha-shabbos v'chadome. L'moshal oset tnai, de'im kshat tzibu yikru kriyat shma, yadayin zman kriyat shma yotza, v'im lav, lo yotza. And he says, ha'kol milsa, the less of a shlichus, less of a tnai, v'mitzvah shebegufo, the mitzvahs which require his guf, lesser b'shlichus. And Tosfos says, with regard to shlichus, the Tosfos read at the second parak of Kedushin says, with regard to shlichus, when you have a mitzvah shebegufo, there's no shlichus. And certainly Kriyat Shema would be a prime example of a mitzvah shebegufo. And here he quotes again the Gemara Ksubis with regard to chalitza, that there's no tnai in chalitza because there's no shlichus. So how do we justify tnai in the case of Kriyat Shema? It's a mitzvah shebegufo, it doesn't lend itself to shlichus, and therefore if so facto should not lend itself to tnai. V'nira. He says there's a chiluk. We have to make a distinction. Tosfos points out there in Masechta Ksubis, explaining the logic, the svar of this klal, of this principle of less of shichus, less of a tnai. And he says that maisa diyochel lasel shliach hu maisa shebiyodo. This perhaps is the source for the svar that we saw earlier in the Hari Kedem that I heard from my Rebbe of biyado. The fact that if I can make a shliach means it's biyado. It's the whole chalos is biyado. Who bailim ala maisa v'yochel asos tnai mashenki v'chalitza eni yochel asos shliach muchach dieno bailim ala maisa v'lachein eni yochel asos tnai. That's what we find in Tosvis in Mesechtik Subis. Oh, if that be the case, maybe we can make a distinction between Chalitza and a Mitzvah Shebegufo. In the case of Chalitza, like in Gittin and Kiddushin, where he's creating a heter for the Yavama Lashuk to marry someone else, he's removing the Zika, that's a Chalos heter on the Ishus, he's being Mafkir the Ishus, it's like a get. And therefore, we would have anticipated and expected that Chalitza should lend itself to Shlichus. The very fact that the Torah excluded Shlichus in the case of Chalitza is proof positive that he, the Choletz, is not the Bailam on the Maisa Chalitza. And therefore, he cannot make a Shlich, he cannot make a Tanai, he's not the Bailam. Interesting that he uses the same terminology as the Hare Kodesh does, Bailus. Tosus uses Biyodo, and he uses Bailus. Plugs in Bailus. But again, he's talking about who's Bailam on the Maisa, the way we said it, who's Bailam on the Chalosa Maisa. In any event, he goes on and he says, Masha'en ken gabi mitzvahs. In the case of mitzvahs, we have no reason to anticipate that the mitzvah should lend itself to Shlichus, insofar as it's a mitzvah shebegufo. Is lo shayach klal inyan shlichus kama shabir atosus rida now. And therefore, this, if the when you have an action that should logically lend itself to shlichus, but the Torah decides that no, shlichus won't operate, then we exclude tnai and we prove that it's not biyodo and he has no bailus on the mice. But if you have something which by its very nature doesn't lend itself to shlichus because of the goof, then we don't apply the principle that, wait a minute, why did the Torah exclude shlichus? The Torah is also, therefore, ipso facto excluding tnai in the case of mitzvahs, where logically it doesn't make any sense. There's no hava meaning that should lend itself to shlichus, and therefore it's not, the Torah is not bumping it off, so to speak, in an active way by saying, hey, you expected, you anticipated shlichus, but there is no shlichus. And in such cases where the maisa doesn't lend itself to shlichus, insofar as it's a maisa shebegufo, therefore, we don't apply the principle of lesser b'shlichus, lesser b'tanai. And perhaps that explanation really is the maskota by chalitza. You know, you're asking yourself the rational question, why is there no shlichus by chalitza? And the answer is that the Torah considers shlichus in a case where you're doing a maisa, but that maisa is there to create a chalos. And in a sense, the maisa is just a conduit to take your das, your ratzon and your will, and bring it out to the fore, so to speak, to take it from potential to the actual. You actualize and objectify your das through the maisa. And in such a case, your maisa is almost secondary to your das, and therefore you can appoint a shliach, and of course you can make a tnai. The case of chalitza is not that way. The Torah is being mechadish and defining chalitza not as das, not that the maisa is secondary, and it's a conduit, it's a means to an end to express his das and create a chalos. No, chalitza is a maisa shebegufo. Now here we want to continue in the Mishperes Chayim, where he offers a second possible answer, and we'll see if we can figure out what he means in his second answer. He says that Tosus asks a question in Ksubas Daf Nun Daled on the sheet of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that in Masnal Mashakosim, the Torah makes a Tanai that contravenes the Torah law, is Tno Batel Va'amaisa Kayam. And Tosus says, wait a minute, he only wanted this Maisa if he can have a fulfillment of the Tanai. He wants his cake and eat it. If you're nullifying his tanai because it contradicts the Torah law, it's Masla Mashkos of the Torah, then he never wanted the mice at all. And here's where Tosus, in that very long Tosus, Divi Amaskal Reizim Kudeshes, that's the case of Al Menashe Eloch Alai Sherksus Viona, Tosus quotes the Re with a major breakthrough. He says, Beli Chidush the Tanai B'nei Gadu B'nei Ruvain. What would have been our understanding before the parasha of Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven? That's the parasha that teaches us tanai, establishes the halachic power of Tanai. And the halacha recognizes Tanai, this we derive from B'nei Gad U'B'nei Reuven. Without B'nei Gad U'B'nei Reuven, then Tanai would be ineffective. The Achshash and Eschadish Dinei Tanai, and the Torah is being Mechadish Tanai, but in a very circumscribed way, you need Ke'ein Tanai B'nei Gad U'B'nei Reuven. And therefore you need a Tanai which is not in conflict with the Torah law. Shalom al-Mana'al Tanai al-Mana'ashikosabat Torah. He says, what is the Re really telling us? That a person has the ability to do a Maisa, but he cannot have a split Das. If he's doing the Maisa, then there's a Das that's inherent in his Maisa. He knows what the Maisa is all about. It's not a Misase case. He's well aware of the fact that this Maisa is meant to engender a certain repercussion, a certain chalos. And therefore, he cannot take his Das and bifurcate and split it and say, well, you know what, if such and such happens, I want the Das. If such stuff doesn't happen, I don't want the Das. Without the Tanai, without the Parsha B'nei Gad U'B'nei Reuven, he would have no power to make a Tanai. And even though he's a little bit on the fence and he's a little bit confused and ambiguous about his Das, nevertheless, he has enough of a Das for that Maisa. That's enough of a Das to create the Chalos. As long as the Torah in the Parsha B'nei Gad U'B'nei Reuven, it says, no. We need Das Gemura, an absolute ironclad Das, 100%. If he has this Das Chaluka, that's not enough to engender the Chalos. Until he has a Das Gemura, if he institutes a Tanai, then the Tanai itself is going to be Mevatel the Maisa. In the case of Masal Mashikosu B'Torah, which is a Tanai that's faulty and doesn't live up to the standards of Tanai, the Tanai will not be effective to Mevatel the Maisa. And we're going to establish that when he enters into this Maisa, then his Das is a Das Gemura. What torpedoes the Chalos is the Tanai. If the Tanai is not there because it doesn't fulfill the requirements of Tanai, in this case of Masa Mashkosa V'Trora, the Tanai is Batel, then the Maisa is Kayim because the Das that inheres in the Maisa is a complete Das. And therefore, says the Mishmeres Chaim, that only applies to a case like Gittin and Chalit and Kedushin, where you need Mishpatei Atnaim, because the Torah says that you have the ability to torpedo your Chalos through the Bittul of Tanai. But in the case of Mitzvahs, his Maisa doesn't engender the Chalos. Tanai ainu tzricha lios din Tanai shemevatel ha-maisa. Ela Tanai hu she'enu mechavin l'kiyum ha-mitzvah lo yizkayim ha-tanai memele yotz ha-mitzvah. He says that what he's not doing is das l'chud and chalos l'chud. He does a maisa to effectuate a chalos, and he wants to place that chalos into a Tanai, and if the Tanai cannot work, then his das is enough to create the chalos. No, he's doing something else in mitzvahs. Mitzvahs is not to create through his maisa some sort of chalos. What he needs is kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah. If that kavana is lacking, the mitzvah is gone. In the case of das for chalos, without the parsha of Tanai, the das is considered to be sufficient das. And if the Tanai is completely null and void, then we have his das, and inherent in his das is the power to gender and create the chalos. But in the case of mitzvahs, what we need is kavana. If he says, no, I don't have kavana, then I don't have to come on to the parsha of Tanai with all the limitations of Tanai as it was formed and derived from B'nei Gad U'B'nei Reuven. Ein achisaron v'mesha ein lo das hechleti ala maisa came into ein o maisa po'el chalos dinim. And therefore, he says that Tanai is meaningful and valid with regard to mitzvahs, because what he's doing is, in the case of Tanai, is he's removing his kavana. And he's saying, you can't force this mitzvah down my throat against my will. If such and such is the is what happens, is such that is reality, I don't want this mitzvah. And he's basically stating that he doesn't want the mitzvah, and there's no kavanah for the mitzvah. There's no din that you need das hechleti, as there is in the case of getting in kedushin, such that the maaseh is done with complete das, and without tnai, it's impeccable, and it's all-powerful. That's true with regard to getting in kedushin, where his das for the maaseh is a das hechleti, it's an absolute das, it's a das kmura, and it automatically creates the chalos, unless there's a parsha of tnai. That's not the case with regard to mitzvahs. In mitzvahs, the maaseh doesn't generate a chalos. And the chisaron here of milsa, the less of a tnai, b'shlichus, less of a tnai, is totally inappropriate. It's not relevant. He says at the end that he has to sort of, even though he's convinced that this is a solid svara, he has to, in a sense, shy away in his humility, because the great Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said that when you make a tnai in a mitzvah, you need mishpate a tnai. Meaning, the tnai in mitzvahs, according to Rabbi Yisrael, operates within the parsha of Bnei Gad u Bnei Reuven. And that brings us, swings us right back to our original question of less of a shlichus, less of a tnai. Rabbi Yisrael, there's a lot more to talk about, but we'll stop here. And b'li neder, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the ability to do so, we want to move on. We want to talk about the Harei Kedem in his second argument, and that is the relationship between Breira and Tnai B'mitzvahs. And thank you for participating.